And I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
World government is the structure necessary for global justice.
First, we Americans are going to have to yield up some of our sovereignty. That's going to be, to many, a bitter pill. Pat Robertson has written in a book a few years ago that we should have a world government, but only when the Messiah arrives. He wrote, and literally, any attempt to achieve world order before that time must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
Welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. We're going to fight them off. A United Nations army couldn't hold us back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, water filters, bug-out bags, and first aid kits. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your entire order at CampingSurvival.com. Today's guest is Paul Munson of SunOven.com. Paul, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, great to be with you.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you on. Now, what originally woke you up to the need to prepare?
Well, I had started preparing for Y2K originally, and then ironically, I went through some financial struggles after Y2K, and all of the preparedness foods and things I set aside we actually needed for a period of time. And I frankly, in 2008, when we do a lot of work internationally, and I was working in Africa and Uganda, East Africa, when the financial crunch hit and things kind of went crazy. And at that point, it was very interesting to watch America from the other side of the world, and primarily on BBC, and get a perspective of what was happening when everything was kind of melting down in the U.S. financially. And at that point, I realized that I needed to get really busy with preparedness, and my wife and I have taken major steps to prepare since then, but saw the economic issues that hit, and then saw just seemingly a pattern that has never corrected itself or really gotten very much better since then, that we don't seem to be learning our lessons economically or morally, and because of the kind of things falling apart economically and morally, I think there's some really rough times that are coming.
You may be right, and they may be closer than we think. The market was down about 368 points earlier this morning, so well, it'll be interesting to see what happens for the rest of the day and for the rest of the week going forward. Now, tell us a little bit about SunOven.com.
Okay, well, SunOven.com is our website that is a kind of a complete way to learn everything you'd ever want to know about cooking with the sun. And we make solar ovens called sun ovens that can bake or boil or steam foods just with the power of the sun. They also can be used as a solar dryer or dehydrator and can be used to boil or pasteurize drinking water. And we find that a lot of people who are, you know, preparing are storing food for a long period of time, but the ability to be able to store fuel for a prolonged period of time to cook the food is something that can be very expensive, very cumbersome, and in some cases dangerous. So if the sun can be harnessed to do cooking when it's sunny, and depending on where people are in the United States, they can use a sun oven anywhere from about 55% of the days for at least part of the day up to as much as almost 90% of the days. So being able to cook with the sun means that if you are storing fuel, you would the amount of fuel that you would store would need to be a lot less.
And yeah, operational security is kind of a big deal for a lot of preppers. Having the ability to cook without sending up smoke signals would certainly be a plus in a situation where you're not looking to bring unnecessary attention, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the sun oven, you could set it up anywhere as long as it can point towards the sun, and it folds up and carries like a suitcase, only weighs 22 pounds, so it's easy to take into an area where nobody would see you, and then you wouldn't have any smoke or any kind of a footprint that you'd be leaving as far as cooking is concerned, and, you know, pretty much can cook anything other than fried foods, and without having any smoke or any kind of, allowing other people to know where you're at.
And there's, you mentioned not having to store a whole lot of extra fuel with a sun oven because the sun is a renewable fuel source, of course. Now, and there's a lot of crossover between the OPSEC for people that would be in a suburban or an urban environment where they're not going to have a lot of access to be able to scavenge wood or things that they'd be able to burn for a fuel source. So there's kind of a lot of crossover there, isn't it?
Yeah, there is. And, you know, what a lot of people don't realize who are in the urban or suburban areas is that, you know, some people store propane canisters to be able to have that for preparedness. I know I was storing propane. I've 2 years to a rural area, but I lived in an urban area up to about a year and a half ago, and I was storing propane and had a dozen propane canisters in my garage just for that purpose until I read that and did some research and found out that if you have more propane stored than what your local ordinance allows, if you're in a city or suburban area and you ever have a fire, you could void your homeowner's insurance policy. And most people don't realize that there's fine print in your homeowner's insurance policy relating to the local ordinances. And in most urban areas, that's only 2 20-pound canisters, exchange-type canisters. So people in urban areas need to double-check that, because you could really, if you're storing too much propane and ever had a fire, you might not be able to get reimbursed from your insurance company for it. But, you know, you look at the shelf life of charcoal, or you look at the shelf life of, it's interesting, if you want to do a fun research, go online and research the shelf life of charcoal. You can decide right now what you want it to be, and you'll find an expert who will agree with you. You'll see everything from 1 year to indefinite when it comes to charcoal. But, you know, if you do store butane or propane, the seals on the canisters are only good for 5 years, and so it's costly to do that. You've got to rotate those things where, you know, if you can use the sun rotates itself every day, so you don't have to worry about rotating the fuels or the cost of it. And the other thing that's kind of unique about a sun oven when it comes to preparedness is that most people find that their preparedness supplies are a drain on their budget, but people who use a sun oven on a regular basis for their everyday cooking, particularly in the summertime for their cooking and baking, find they'll pay for it in one season and what they save by air conditioning costs. And you save a little bit in cooking fuel. An average American family spends about 14% of their utility budget on cooking fuel, and you can save that by using the sun oven on an everyday basis. But depending on where people are at, they spend anywhere from 40 to 80% of their budget on air conditioning costs. So the ability to use the sun and keep the heat from cooking outside so you don't have to spend as much to cool down your house helps pay for something like a sun oven.
That's fantastic. And it's just a great thing to use. And then for folks that maybe are living off the grid that maybe don't have air conditioning, or maybe they're cooking inside over a wood stove, it certainly would be a great advantage for them to not have to heat the house up.
And things, you know, it's interesting because people who bake bread, you know, on a day when it's more than 80 degrees, if you bake bread and you do have air conditioning, you spend more money to cool the house than you do for the cost of the bread and the energy to cook it. So by being able to keep that heat outdoors, there's a huge savings. Plus, the amazing thing about cooking with the sun is that nothing burns when you cook in the sun and nothing dries out. So when you make a roast, it's just so moist and so succulent. Or when you make bread, it's just more light and fluffy. And when people discover sun oven cooking, it's so forgiving and so easy, but also it just really enhances the taste of a lot of things, as well as not using any energy.
And then a lot of preppers are concerned about long-term power outages, such as what we would have from an EMP or a solar flare. In that situation, food preservation is going to be an issue for those who survive long enough for it to become an issue. Can you make jerky in a sun oven?
Yes, a sun oven can also be used as a solar dryer or dehydrator. And so you can use it for jerky. You can use it for, you know, sun-dried tomatoes. And you're correct. I mean, when you, you know, if you didn't have power and at a time your garden's ready to be harvested, that's the time you'd need to, you know, want to make sure you had a way to dehydrate your foods, and you can use the sun oven as a dryer or dehydrator. When you, there's latches on the sun oven door that you latch tight when you cook, and it gets up to 400 degrees, but if you turn one of the latches in, lower the glass door of the sun oven so it's just sitting on top of the latch, it allows the moist air to escape out of the sun oven and keeps the temperature from getting too hot. And again, even in a non-preparedness situation, a lot of people tell us they like using their sun oven for jerky or for peppers or onions or things that smell, because you can do that outdoors and keep the smell outdoors as opposed to using your electric dehydrator for those kinds of things. And then sometimes there's a lingering odor that stays in the house.
And then do you have all the accessories available for the sun oven to make jerky and bread and all of that kind of thing?
Yes. There's a package that's available with the sun oven we call a preparedness and dehydrating package. And that includes a dehydrating kit that's got racks that allow you then to have four levels of cooking, so you can do four levels of jerky at the same time. It's got bread pans with it. It's got a water pasteurization indicator. It's got stackable pots, and it's pretty much everything anybody would need to cook or dehydrate with the sun in a preparedness situation, or in an everyday situation for that matter. But we find when people look at preparedness, they like the idea of having everything they need in kind of a self-contained package. So we've packaged together all the accessories that are needed for preparedness in one package.
And then you mentioned a roast, so you can actually cook a whole roast on this. Could you cook,
sure,
like a ham or a turkey or pretty much anything?
You can cook up to a 21-pound turkey in a baking bag in it, or you can cook a ham in it. And when you make a roast, it is unbelievable how moist it is. Anytime I've ever cooked a turkey, for example, anybody's eaten it has said the light meat is more moist than the dark meat turkey that they've ever eaten. The sun oven is an airtight seal, and what you're really doing is just heating the air around the food, but there's no loss of moisture. So when you make a turkey or a roast, it's uncanny how much better it tastes. A roast chicken is unbelievable when it's cooked in the sun, and so it's great for cooking roasts, or it's also the most fuel efficient way to rehydrate some of the freeze-dried and dehydrated foods that people have. If you read the can of freeze-dried foods, it will tell you to boil a certain amount of water first, pour the boiling water over the freeze-dried or the dehydrated food and stir it, and you know, that's how you rehydrate it. But you know, water boils at 212 degrees at most altitudes, and it takes as much energy to bring water from 200 degrees to 212 as it does from the ambient temperature up to 200 degrees. So the last 12 degrees takes as much energy as bringing it from the ambient temperature to 200. So boiling water is very, very energy intensive. When you rehydrate your freeze-dried or your dehydrated foods in the sun oven, all you do is use one-third less water than the can or the packet tells you you should use. You put the water in at the ambient temperature, just stir it well, put it in the sun oven, and it will rehydrate without boiling the water first, which saves a great deal of time and a great deal of energy. And a lot of people who have freeze-dried foods have never really looked, but if you take some people have butane stoves as their backup, you know, as a way to cook food in the event of trouble, but you would wind up using a third to half a canister for one meal for a family of four to six people, half a canister of butane to be able to boil the water for one meal. So if you can do it in the sun oven without boiling the water first, the energy savings is huge.
It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proved to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on silver and gold. Check out silver.com today.
Hi, this is Kim Jong. Your country no good to make friend. Why turn off the internet? I was trying to watch interview on the YouTube.
And this is Vladimir Putin. What's happening for oil prices? Not so good for ruble. I'm hoping I don't find out you guys is involved.
Maybe you need go PrepperRecon.com, check it out, supply store, in case somebody turn off your internet.
Or could be turning off your electricity. These things happen.
They have a so good everyday carry concealed carry sling with patches more cool than a dinosaur oddman.
And having MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits with IBD, chest seal, quick clot, tourniquet, EMT shears, and much more. Even when I don't wear a shirt, I having IFAC from Prepper Recon with me.
So, go to PrepperRecon.com and click Store tab on the top of the home page.
While you still can.
I live in Florida, so I'm probably going to be one of those people that will be able to use your sun oven just about every day. But now for the folks that live in other areas where they have a few more cloudy days than I do out of the year, do you have any recommendations for a backup plan if the sun isn't shining?
Well, we have a little, we call a cloudy day cube stove that we sell, and we sell those actually with fuel discs allow you to use it as a backup for the days when the sun's not shining. The rule of thumb in using a sun oven is there has to be enough sun to cast a shadow to use it. So as long as there's enough sun to see a shadow, you can cook in the sun oven. If it's overcast at a point where you can't see a shadow, then you can't cook in it. But the outside temperature makes no difference whatsoever. We're in Illinois, and I've cooked in the sun oven at temperatures as low as 10 degrees below zero, and it's, you know, it doesn't make any difference what the temperature is, just the amount of direct sunlight.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, in your opinion, can you tell us what you think the biggest threat is to not necessarily just the grid, but our entire society in general? Because we've had Fur Fall on the show, who survived the economic collapse in 2001 in Argentina, and they had periods of brownouts where they didn't have enough voltage to use a lot of their appliances in their house. And this was just, you know, this wasn't an EMP or a solar flare or anything else. It was purely economic. It's just because as society starts to break down and finances start to break down, services become less reliable.
Yeah, I mean, I've spent a lot of time around the world. We have sun ovens in a lot of different places around the world. We actually make them in several third world countries as well as making them in the U.S., And I'm probably the place that kind of woke me up to the need and the whole issue of preparedness is spending some time a few years back in Afghanistan. I can remember in the 70s when Afghanistan was a thriving country and had virtually, you know, it was just a growing, thriving country. Now you can't find it. It's hard to go anywhere in Kabul anyway, in the capital of Afghanistan, and not find the majority of the buildings are just half occupied. The schools don't have roofs. The things are, you know, completely falling apart. And you look around and it's people in the winter wind up taking the boards out of their homes to try to find a way to cook their food because there's just absolutely no resources and no power. And so as I've traveled around the world and I've seen places that used to be thriving economies and cities and seeing how they failed. Seeing through a variety of things, sometimes political, sometimes natural. I've seen the need for preparedness, and quite frankly, I study scripture a fair amount, and I think America is somewhat very much overdue for judgment from God, and I think that we are going to see some things that most Americans have just had this attitude, myself included, for an awful long time, that we're exempt from everything and that we're just kind of unique and protected. But I think that we're going to see God's judgment on America, just as Israel back in the Old Testament times considered themselves exempt from a lot of things and found that God was actually harsher on judging Israel as his chosen people than he was the pagan nations. And I think America, which was a country that was founded completely on biblical principles and has been now ignoring that a great deal in virtually every way, shape, or form, I think we're going to see God's judgment in ways that we as Americans would never have thought possible.
Now, one of the things I think is curious about the judgment of Israel in the Old Testament, we had Jeremiah the prophet, and from the time he started, he got his commission to start warning about the coming judgment until the time it actually happened, it was about 40 years. Do you think that there's a tendency sometimes for folks to think, well, because it hasn't happened yet, that God's just kind of forgot about us and he's not going to hold us accountable? And you and I were talking right before the show also about Manasseh, who it was said that in 2 Kings that he had just filled the city of Jerusalem with innocent blood. And we spoke about, you know, there's 3.8 million miles in America, and we've had 57 million abortions since Roe versus Wade. So that's about 15 murdered children for each square mile of America. So we've sort of filled the country with innocent blood. It was about it was several years after Manasseh that the final judgment fell on Israel. Do you think that that's something that we think here is that because it hasn't happened yet, it's not going to happen?
I think that's a lot of our attitude here. But yet, if we take a look at what happened in 2001 when the Twin Towers were bombed, and then what happened to our economy after that, and Hebrew calendar, 7 years to the day after the stock market fell in 2001, it fell again in 2008. And so I think that God has been warning us, God has been showing us, and has pointed, attempted in many ways to show America that we're not exempt. And I think as a country, we've chosen to ignore God and consequently, even though there were warnings, and we are seeing the warnings just like they are there in the Old Testament, most people in the Old Testament times just kind of scoffed and laughed at the prophets and thought they were silly and things were going along well. And if you look at when Israel fell, if you look at when Judah fell in the Old Testament, they were always at times very shortly after the peak economic times. And we see that we go through cycles in the U.S. that our economy builds up and we get seemingly very strong, and seemingly the stronger our economy gets, the more we have a tendency as a nation to ignore God. So I think the warnings have been there very clearly for a lot of years, and as a nation, we've chosen to ignore them.
And there's a messianic rabbi in New York, Jonathan Cahn, that has done a lot of research on the warnings that you just spoke about. In 2001, when the towers were hit, the day that actually happened was on the Jewish Shemitah, which is something that happens every 7 years. And then in 2008, exactly 7 years later, and that was on the Shemitah that we started getting the biggest point loss for one day occurred. And I think that the actual amount that the Dow was down that day was 777 points. And that was, I don't know the exact dates, but that was September, whatever. And the Jewish calendar, it was Elul 29, which is the day of Shemitah, and he's certainly cautioning people to be aware, because here we are in 2015, this is 7 years later, and we'll be coming up on another Shemitah. So if you think that was anything more than coincidence, that those events happened exactly 7 years apart according to the Jewish calendar on the day of Shemitah, which is a sort of an accounting day or a clearing day, then it's certainly something to be concerned about, because I don't see any evidence that there's been much repentance in this country since those two events. Do you?
I don't see any evidence at all. And this is a year going back and studying in the Old Testament every 7 years. Debts had to be forgiven every 7 years, usually on Old 29, the last day of the year, and this in that seven-year cycle, 2015 is one of those years, and in 2015, September 13th is the date that that will occur. And so, and I know many people dismiss that and say, oh, it's a date setting, but understand that when the Bible talks about date setting, the Bible talks about date setting for the second return of Christ. The Bible talks about date setting as it relates to Israel. But America isn't Israel. And America is, we tend to think of ourselves as exempt from that judgment. But I think in looking at these trends and looking at these dates, there's nothing in Scripture that you could call this kind of date setting as being, dismiss this kind of date setting when it relates to America, as opposed to relating to no one knows the hour when Christ is going to return. There's no question about that. But I think there's a lot more possibility of, based on the cycles that we've seen in U.S. history, of something major happening this year in relationship to that. And frankly, I and my family are very much preparing. We have a plan that we're, working on between now and June, and then another plan that we're working on in July and August in the mid-September, because I think the worst case is, if nothing happens, I'm going to be better prepared for something in the future. But if the pattern that has been clearly shown economically in the U.S., in the history of the United States on that same day continues, I think that there's a very, very strong possibility that coming this September, we're going to see God bring judgment on America in some manner or another. I think the best case is an economic meltdown, and the worst case could be something significantly greater.
Or like we saw in 2001, on September 11th, we saw, that we had a terrorist attack, which triggered an economic downturn. So we could certainly see something like that, too, where it's a sort of a 1-2 punch.
Very much so. And I think, as far as, I don't pretend to look and know what God's going to do, but as you look back and you read through the Old Testament and you see how God sometimes used natural events to judge Israel, and other times he used pagan nations to judge Israel, and I think that the threat today that we see worldwide from ISIS is so much greater than what we've seen from Al-Qaeda, so much greater than what was seen from Hitler or Mussolini, or going back and looking at enemies that have been there. ISIS is a different type of enemy. ISIS stands for something that we can't even as Americans comprehend, the ideology that they live by. And if God chooses to allow ISIS to do something to the United States, it is something that is totally in line with how God used Israel's enemies to come up against them in the Old Testament. So it's not something that's out of character at all for Scripture.
Well, geographically, they're in the exact same location as the Assyrians that God used to judge Israel.
Exactly. And, right now they're, going in great force taking over Syria and Iraq. And when you look at the role both of those nations play in end times prophecy, it's absolutely amazing. Many people think very soon they're going to go after Jordan because they don't agree with the way that Jordan, being a more moderate Islamic country. I've spent some time in Jordan after in 2007, I think it was, which was a few weeks after the major bombings that occurred at that point, where they bombed several hotels. At that time it was Al-Qaeda, but going after, again, the moderate Muslim nations. So it's something that's an ideology. They want Sharia law. They believe that there's a lot that can be accomplished by doing that, and they have absolutely no fears of death, no fears of, you know, look at the way they persecuted Christians just last year in Iraq, and the thousands of innocent women and children that were killed in brutal ways that we don't even want to talk about. And so, again, God used them in a judgmental way there, and I think there's a very strong possibility they're going to be used in a judgmental way here.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to be paying attention to, that's for sure. Now, tell the folks one more time where they can find the Sun Oven and the dehydration racks and baking pans and all of that.
Okay, yeah, our website is just sunoven.com, just www.sunoven.com. But if they go to sunoven.com and just put in sunoven.com and then a / and then prepper recon, they would be able to get an $80 discount on a Sun Oven with the entire package, entire dehydrating and preparedness package, and it'd also be able to get free shipping. So if they just go to sunoven.com/prepper recon, they'd be able to see the all of the items that are included and obtain a discount code. If they There's a button on each page that just says how to use, and if they click that button, they'll see videos on how to use the Sun Oven for cooking, how to use it for dehydrating, how to use it for baking bread, even how you bake hard-boiled eggs without water, and you can take freshly laid eggs, and they peel real easily if you hard-boil them in the Sun Oven. So there's videos on all of those topics, water purification, and so there's quite a bit of information there to learn about how a Sun Oven works and how to use it, and people can find the answer to pretty much any of their questions at sunoven.com.
Well, fantastic, and we really appreciate that discount code for our listeners, and we'll have a link directly to that page, so anybody that's listening on YouTube or iTunes or Stitcher, you can head over to PrepperRecon.com if you have trouble getting to that discount page, and we'll have a link in today's show notes that you'll be able to go straight to that to get the $80 discount. Paul, thanks so much for taking time to come on the show and for doing your part to get folks prepared.
Thank you. Good talking with you. God bless.
In the post-apocalyptic thriller, American Exit Strategy by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, America is on the cusp of financial annihilation. Matt and Karen Baer face the challenges of Main Street during a full-scale financial meltdown. Government borrowing and monetary creation have reached their limits. When funds are no longer available for government programs, widespread civil unrest erupts across the country. Matt and Karen are forced to move to a more remote location, and their level of preparedness is revealed as being much less adequate than they believed prior to the crisis. American Exit Strategy uses survival fiction to take an in-depth look at the real-life politics and economics behind the issues that are likely to trigger a currency collapse. American Exit Strategy. Buy your copy in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.